together. Man, there's some songs that this church really enjoy. This is one of them. Or at least the song leader does. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. sing you a song after an introduction like that, everybody would be afraid to run down the aisle and bite a chunk out of the leg or something like that. I haven't been noted to do that, but I won't do it tonight. But if I do, I've had all my shots, and I've been inoculated for everything you want to. If I spit on you, you won't get anything you haven't already been exposed to. But let me see if I can remember how a song or two goes here. I guess the older I get, the more my lights are going out. I make up more words to songs, the more music here lately. Yeah. All I think about is taking the problem table, too. Oh, that's awful. Sing old time religion, sing hands, all right? Y'all kind of need to get stars blown off of you now. So I kind of shake hands, let's sing together. Here we go now. It's the old time religion, it's the old time religion, it's the old time religion. It's getting up on me, it will do when I am dying. I thought this song the day and I was going, I don't know if I remember or not. We read of a place that's called hell. It's made for the children and the free. It's truth and God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home, I'm happy. First time some of y'all hear you in heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's love is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home. If I had a cave book and thought that, my mind doesn't work that good. Let's see. Some of y'all are not doing too good. I've done a couple of them. Say bye to the time when Jesus saved your soul. Remember the joy when you gave him full control. But in time has removed the peace given in. He's calling you back to the place you began. Child, child, oh, why will you wander out in the darkness away from the
people's lives. I pray especially for every young person in this building. I pray, God, you to rest their attention. I pray, Lord God, tonight you put out any disturbance, any distraction, anything, Lord, that would be a hindrance to the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, tonight that you may do a work in our lives, and we'll be sure to go out of here tonight and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17. Good to be back here tonight. I appreciate the invitation that was extended to me to be here, able to work out a Wednesday, work has come down. And let me say to you that I really appreciate what God has done for your pastor. The last time I seen him before this time, he was in the hospital in Los Angeles, and things didn't look too good, but God worked the thing out, and I blessed God now just like he does.
Yeah,
I blessed his name. And when we found out the good news, I danced around the telephone. I really did. Well, I could pull the thing out of the wall, and I rejoiced with it. Thank God. I just going to show the doctors in the way of the thing. You know what I'm talking about? Looked to me like Dr. Jesus moved through at that time. Great physician, done made a house call, with
yes,
right? And boy, I rejoice in that. I praise God for it. Thank God for you. And you young people, I want y'all to give me attention. That's right. You old folks, every now act like you're alive. Would you at least run at me once in a while? And you kids, let me tell you something. I was down all the kids set up front. I won't do that if y'all listen to me. You can get picking your nose and cut the shine and get up here in the front. And you can gross everybody out picking your nose.
All right.
2 Samuel chapter 17. I've watched them before. I know. God's just bad. I'm talking about scratching his brain, man. Second Samuel chapter 17. That green yo-yo. 2 Samuel 17. That's all this water I ever drank in my life. No, it's good. I'm just teasing. 2 Samuel chapter 17. The first verse said, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now, he said, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. And then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he said. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter, please. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house and to his city and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Look, please, the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, the 27th chapter. And look at the first several verses here in Matthew. Matthew, chapter 27, and the first several verses. Now, get this right here. This is important. Here comes a man named Judas, and who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But he saw what he had done, and in chapter 27, verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I am seeing him, that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that? Let us see that of that. And he cast down the piece of silver in the temple and departed and went out to hang himself. Now, you have two sections of the Bible here that deal with one particular subject, and it's the subject that I want to deal with tonight. It deals with the subject of suicide, somebody taking their own life at their own hand. And I want to kind of bring that down a little now, more than there if I can tonight. I'm going to preach on teenage suicide. And I want you adults to help me. You get something out for us all over with you, I promise you. And I promise you, if you're a little squeamish and you get a little upset over plain talk, then we might ought to dismiss you right now and let you go home and watch whatever you watch on the idiot box. That cusses there to the breath. Maybe that will suit you a whole lot better. And you come to church and the man of God preaches plain, it's an old guy. He says some shocking things. Nothing more than what you hear on television. And all that garbage and that stuff like that. So if you're easily offended, you might all just unplug and check out right now. Now I'm going to tell you something. Plain preaching is easy understood. I found that a long time ago. And in our generation, we have a phenomenon that is called adolescent suicide. And by what the government means by that is the age group from 11 to 24 years old. That's what they measure the suicide rate amongst young people with, 11 to 24 years old. And they say that it has more than gone up 300% since 1950. They estimate that there are about 5,000 teenagers who kill themselves every year. That averages out about 13 a day and that they're killing themselves. They figure that at least 500,000 others try and don't succeed for one reason or another. And it's just picking up speed all the time. It is the number two killer amongst young people. The number one killer amongst young people right now is car wrecks. And teenage suicide is creeping up. And they say in the 1990s it is probably going to tie automobile accidents for the cause of the most death among young people. And there are a lot of reasons why people kill themselves, particularly young people. Sometimes they kill, you have a murder-suicide situation. That is some guy, for example, some guy's girlfriend will kill him, you know, and he'll go to school and he'll blow her away and put the gun to his own head and kill himself. That happens just nearly every day. It's a pretty common occurrence. And it's a murder-suicide. It's done in a rage. It's done in a fit of passion. If the people had sat down and think it through, they would not have done it. But just in a rage, they kill themselves. Sometimes young people kill themselves over frustration. They're frustrated over a certain situation. They have a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness that the certain situation is not going to get any better. And so they blow their brains out. And here's where I need your adults tonight. You kids have been listening to this preacher tonight. What seems hopeless and helpless and has no answer today, down the road you'll smile at and laugh at. So, well, man, what am I so upset about that? Things do change, kid. Things do change. What looks like a totally helpless problem right now, 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, you won't even remember the fact. It may look as big as a mountain to you right now, but things change. God works things out. Taking your life is never the answer for any problem you have. Amen. Never. Sometimes kids take their lives and old people take their lives because of health problems. They feel like they've been told they have a terminal illness and they're not going to live. And so they say, man, I'm not in all this pain and suffering. Why should I be a vegetable all my life? And they blow their brains out. But that's a fallacy too. Because there are people right here, not your pastors, one and others, that the doctor said, hey, you ain't going to make it. You're not going to live. And there's some of you right now, you've been living a long time after the doctor told you that. Dr. Jesus fixed you up and you're alive and well tonight. And yes, the doctor doesn't know everything. And just because you got it done, diagnosis of a terminal illness does not mean that you're actually going to die.
Are you
saying
amen?
And the more I'm around doctors, the less confidence I have in them anyway. But anyway, sometimes kids kill themselves to escape punishment. They get arrested for something and they get in a jail cell and they'll find something to hang themselves, you know, rather than face punishment and rather than face the music for their crime. A lot of kids were finding out through the notes that's being left. Killed himself over despair, over the fact that this life holds nothing else for him, that this life holds no other thrill, that holds no other pleasure. Now here's why that is. Now you ain't gonna like this, but here's just exactly why it is. In our generation, we've got kids today, that by the time they're 15 or 16, they've done just about everything they feel this world has to offer. They've had sex, they've drunk liquor, they took a little dope, they've raised a little hell, they got their own car, got their own gasoline credit card, and when they get to be 16 or 17, they say, man, what else is there to do? I have done it all, and our society's come along, and instead of trying to deal with the problem from a moral standpoint, they come along and hand kids a handful of condoms and say, all right, hey, don't get AIDS and don't get pregnant, but that's all the restrictions we're going to put on you. And so after a kid has done all that, he feels like there's nothing worth living for, that there's no other thrill and no other pleasure left in this world. And so he blows his brains out rather than spend 50 or 60 years of life in boredom. And it's like, let me tell you something, buddy, that kind of philosophy stinks. It stinks, buddy. There is something to live for, kid. There really is something to live for. And I want you to look at this down here. We find out that Ahithophel got hooked up with Absalom. And Absalom was the original hippie. Absalom hated his daddy. As a matter of fact, what you read there tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 17 pointed out the fact that Absalom was trying to overthrow his daddy and take his kingdom and have him killed. And Ahithophel got in with his buddy. And they asked his advice. Now I want you to think about this just a minute. Here was Absalom. He was the big leader in the group, you know. And he had asked for Ahithophel's advice. Man, that's just like the leader of the gang. He asked him one of the gang members to come in and say, what do you think about this? But buddy, when his advice was rejected, he felt such shame and he was so mad, they went home and killed himself. Kids, that's why that your parents and your pastor and everybody else warned you about who you hang out with. Listen, when you hang out with a bum crowd, you're going to go the way of the bum crowd. And you hang out with the people that don't give a rip, you're going to find yourself not giving a rip. You better be careful who you hang around with.
That's right. Amen.
You say, I don't like you. Hey, you know them two things right there? You know what you got for? Put it right up your nose and carry yourself out. We don't care. We don't care. I'm just telling you like it is.
Amen.
Now look at this. That before you kill yourself, there's all kinds some music out now. You know, for years you've had the heavy metal music. But now there's a new phenomenon out that is called thrash metal or death metal. And is our black metal. And what that is, it is music that encourages people to kill themselves.
Right.
This guy, Elton John. And by the way, that's a good place for Elton. It's in the John. I'm full of all. He's a queer. He says he's a queer. You don't know whether he's extra or lesser. You work his bridges down and wearing pantyhose. I promise you that. Hey, you don't have me. You don't know what's going on. He's a queer. And if you like his view, you must be a queer too. Yeah, I'm telling you about it, huh? Have a nice day. Create a big smile face on your belly button. That's all I care. Well, Elton John comes out with this song, and part of the lyric says, think I'm by 45, give them all surprise, think I'm going to kill myself, cause a little suicide. Well, Elton John is a popular guy, or whatever he is, whatever the thing is. He's a sham. You know, whether it's a she or him, he's a cross. I don't know what he is, but he's a popular fellow. And some young kid listens to that and say, well, Elton John said it's all right for me to kill myself. There is a group out now called Accepts, and they have an album out called Suicidal Tendencies. And on the front of that album cover is two young boys hanging upside down on a jungle gym set with their hands tied behind them. They have another album out called Russian Roulette. And on the cover of that, they have a picture of a young man with a pistol in his hand trying to get his buddy to take part in a game of Russian Roulette. Now, if you don't know what that is, they put one shell in the chamber, spin the chamber, and then put it to their head and pull the trigger, hoping they don't have the one that's got the live round in it. And so that is a subtle hint and to say, hey, it's all right to play that game. If you get killed, that's okay. There is an album out called Suicide's an Alternative, You'll Be Sorry. I want to read you some of the lyrics. I will spell the more coarse words. The lyrics of this song say, sick of people, no one real. Sick of chicks, they're all B-I-T-C-H-E-S. Sick of you, you're too hip. Sick of life, it's S-U-C-K-S. Sick and tired, no one cares. Sick of myself, don't want to live. Sick of living, gonna die. Well, you put that thing in your head, set and carry around your Walkman, and run that through your mind 25 or 30 times a day, you'll be as dingy as the bell of St. Mary's, and buddy, you'll be in a weakened condition where the devil could convince you ought to kill yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Suicidal failure is another one. The lyrics said, Father, forgive me, for I know now what I do. I tried everything, now I'll leave it up to you. I don't want to live, I don't know why. I don't have any reasons, I just want to die. There is an album out by a group called Metallica. They have an album out called Ride the Lightning. And part of the song on one of this says, life it seems will fade away, drifting further every day. Getting lost within myself, nothing matters, no one else. I've lost the will to live, simply nothing more to give. There's nothing more for me. Need the end to set me free. Now you don't see why that's a lie of the devil right there. The end does not set you free.
That's right.
The end does not set you free. There was a young man out here in Indio, California, a couple of years ago. The young man's name was John McCullough. And his parents found him dead in his room. He shot himself in the head. He had a stereo headset on, and the tape that he had on on his stereo was the lyrics to Suicide Solution. And those lyrics said, breaking laws, knocking doors, there's no one at home, make your bed, rest your head, but you lie there and moan, where to hide, suicide is the only way out, don't you know what it's really all about? There's a group called AC/DC, which is an Australian heavy metal group, and they have a song out called Shoot the Thrill, another one called Highway to Hell. There was a young man named Steve Boker, and he liked the AC/DC group. His parents heard a gunshot go off one day in his bedroom. They ran in there and found that he placed the pistol between his eyes and blown his brains out. He had a huge poster of AC/DC on his bedroom wall. When that shot hit him, it threw him back against the wall, and his blood and his brains oozed down that poster, and he was sitting there dead at the foot of that poster. He had the headset on, listening to the Highway to Hell. There was a young man out in Texas that hung himself from the goalpost out there. He told his buddies, he said, I'm going to meet Satan today. And when they found him, he had AC/DC on his Walkman, had his headset on, and Highway to Hell was playing over and over again. Here he was hanging from the goalpost, a 15-year-old kid. And it goes on and on. These are not isolated incidents. They just seem to go on and on. And I want you to think of me a little while now. No doubt there are probably some of you kids that know somebody that killed themselves, or at least know somebody who tried to kill themselves, and maybe some of you here that even thought about yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If we could rescue one young person tonight, if we could just get one young person to turn away from that idea, the whole evening's been good. I'll tell you, we've spent our time here. I want you to look at about two or three things. I'm going to be done. Right, listen to me. If you give your attention, kid, I'll be done this little bit, and I'll give you something to help you tonight. The first thing you need to consider before you kill yourself, and before you consider killing yourself, is the finality of your action. Kids, when you kill yourself, it's not like needles. You don't get over it. When you kill yourself, if you don't like it that way, you can't come back. So you can't come back. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, just a minute. David's baby dies. And notice the statement that David made concerning that baby. He said it in verse 23, but now he is dead. He's talking about the baby who died. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I should go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. I know what you're looking at this right here. David's baby died. And he come around, you know what David said? He said, I cannot bring that baby back, but I can go one day where that baby is. Kids, let me tell you something. When you die, that's the end of it in this life. I don't care what Sherman McClain said. It doesn't make any difference what all these gurus talk about and say, well, you come back in another life. And they're telling you now that you used to live another life. You lived several thousand years ago, and you come back, maybe it's a butterfly or a billy goat or something. I don't know what the stupid junk said. But I'm afraid that's a lie. Some dope fiend, some guy smoking peyote, man, all that stuff. You don't find that in the Bible. Let me tell you something. When you die, kid, you can't come back in this life. Your body goes to the graveyard. Your soul goes to heaven or hell, depending on what you were saying. And the worm's going to eat your body, and you ain't coming back in this life, brother. You ain't coming back.
Right.
It's not like a cold. If you don't like it, you get over it, you can come back and you're all right. Kids, it's a final action. When you take your life, that's final. That's a final action.
Amen.
Look at Revelation chapter 20 just a minute. The Bible says the point of the man wants to die. But the rest of the verse says that after this is judgment.
Yes, sir.
Now wait just a minute. If the end sets you free, like the song said, like the rock musician said, if the end sets you free, what's the book of Revelation chapter 20 doing in there? If you're just dead and you're dead like Roman, you're dead all over. I mean, if that's the end of it, then what is Revelation 20 doing in the Bible? Now watch. There is a word that keeps popping up in Revelation 20. Get it right here. Look down at verse 12. He said, now watch the word. Watch it now. He said, and I saw thee dead, small and great, standing before God. Now wait just a minute. I thought you died and that's the end of it and you'll come back. No. Hey, but say so. After this is the judgment, you got the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave it the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to the works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now watch it right here. Now you go to the graveyard, your soul goes to hell, but one day God's going to belt that soul back up out of hell, stuff it back in this old rotten body, and you'll stand naked before the white throne judgment of God, and eventually be cast in a burning lake of fire. That doesn't sound like too good a deal to me, right?
Amen.
What I'm trying to get you to see is the finality of your action. You don't get a second chance down here, kid. It's not a matter if you don't like death, if you come back, that's not the way it works.
Yes, sir.
You need to consider the finality of your action. When that heart quits your mood, it's over for you down here. It's over.
Amen.
Notice the second thing, please. You need to consider the family that you're going to leave behind.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Look at 2 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. David and Absalom did not have a good relationship, to say the least. Absalom hated his dad. They did not get along. But look down in 2 Samuel 18. Verse 31. Finally, Absalom is killed. Absalom gets his old hippie hair hung up in the forks of a tree. The mule walks out from under it, and they come by and kill Absalom while he's hanging in the tree. The word comes back to David that Absalom's dead. Now, what do you reckon David's response is to that? Did he dance and shout and say, thank God that heathen boy is dead? I'm glad he's dead. Well, let's see. Verse 31. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged this day of all of them that rose against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. In other words, they're all dead, King David, including that hippie boy of yours. Verse 33. And the king was much moved, and went to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went thus, he said, O my son Absalom, would God I died for thee? O Absalom, my son. He wasn't happy. He was sorrowful. He wept and cried and moaned. And chapter 19, like me, he said, he hollered and screamed, and the people didn't know what to do to comfort David. Kids, I want to tell you something. You may not have a very good relationship with your mother and daddy. You may not get along too good with them. They may not even be living together right now. I don't know where you come from. Let me tell you something, kid. If you take your life and go to that graveyard, I want you to think about your family. Think about your mother that brought you into this world, going to the cemetery, and with tears falling down her face, and weeping and crying, and putting flowers on your grave. That old daddy that worked so hard to put you through school and loved you, your sister and your brother, and the people that know you, can you bear to put them through that? You better think about it. You better think about it.
Yes.
See, there's more folks involved than just you, kids. Better think about your family before we die. And it's not going to be something that they're going to get over a day or two up in the area where I come from. There's a fellow that had a 20-year-old son that hung himself about 15 years ago in a doped-up stupor. He hung himself out in the barn. Since then, the barn has burned down. It's not even that. But that old man, about every week, will walk out of those woods where that barn used to stand and weep and cry and scream over his car. And would to God, he was back. It's been 15 years, and it's not over yet. You better think about your family. That's going to leave behind. Notice the third thing. Before you kid yourself, you better consider the friends that you may influence. There is a phenomenon associated with teen suicide. It is called cluster suicide. By that they mean that when one kid kills himself or tries to kill himself, four or five others will try just like that. Just in quick succession. In Omaha, Nebraska, a couple of years ago, The Bryan High School out there had three suicides in a period of 5 days. Now listen to what I'm telling you. They had three suicides in a 5-day period. In the previous week, four other students had tried to commit suicide there on the grounds. Time Magazine went out and interviewed the principal. Time Magazine is not noted for its conservative stance. Time Magazine is not noted for being for God. They're liberal and they're rank and they're anti-God. But they went out there to interview this high school principal. I don't know whether you're the same man or not. But they said, what in God's name is going on? Now, he got all these kids kill themselves. One after another. You know what the principal told them? Let me read to you what the principal told them. I'm not making this up. You can see it after church. The principal said, we have a life is cheap philosophy fed to the young people. And he said, pro suicide lyrics and rock songs are a particular example. I'm going to tell you something. You parents listen to me. You had it all up together. You tell a kid that he crawled up out of a swamp somewhere and was formed out of an amoeba, that he does not have a creator, and that he is just so much protoplasm and just a glob of flesh that his mother couldn't have aborted and she wouldn't have committed murder because it's like cutting a wart off your hand if that's what you want to do. And you hand him some birth control devices and said there's no moral standard. So long as you don't hurt yourself and get AIDS and that kind of stuff, there are no moral limitations. You tell a kid that. You tell him that there's no God. You tell him that there's evolution. You tell him that he doesn't have any purpose in this life. No wonder they're killing themselves.
Right. Amen.
No one. I'm going to tell you something tonight. People don't like that. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. The older I get, the less I care whether they like it.
Amen.
I done got plumb sneaky in my old age. I can't die. I just don't care. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell anybody that cripples up every mutant tactic. I'm going to tell you. God said over here, he said, you better consider your friend. Look at Romans chapter 14 just a minute. I get so tired hearing young people say this. Some of you young people, and not just you particular, I'm talking about your age group. They say, well, Brother Dave Jones, if whatever I do doesn't hurt me, doesn't hurt anybody else, I'm the only one certain. Well, the only problem with that is not so.
Yeah.
In Romans 14 and verse 7, he said, for none of us, now get it, for none of us live to himself and no man dies to himself. What you and I do does affect somebody else, kid. What we do is going to affect somebody else. And what they do, if you kill yourself, you may cause one of your buddies, your friends to kill themselves. You may set off a chain of events that several people will kill themselves. You better consider the friends you're going to influence. You're not the only one involved. Now I'm going to say this. Before you kill yourself, you need to consider the fact, you need to consider the field of endeavor that you'll never explore. You will never know what your potential was in this life. You will never have a career. You will never raise a family. You will never know the joy of having your little son or daughter's arms on your neck and saying, I love you, mommy. I love you, daddy. You will never know what you could have accomplished in this life. The only thing you'll be remembered for is a fellow or a girl who took their own life. That's all. I don't care if you're a pretty cheerleader. I don't care if you're an A student. I don't care if you're a big basketball star. The only thing they'll remember you for that trespassed your grave is that's the kid that killed himself.
That's right.
What a sorry legend to leave behind. What a sorry testimony. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Please get this. Please get it. I'm trying to hit. God said, Daniel, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after all likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That kind of knocks that loose in all the pieces, doesn't it? Verse 27. So God created man in his image. Now I'm going to ask you a question. God made the fowl, God made the fish, God made the creeping thing. He made all these creatures that sit on the earth. But when it came to man, he did not make them in the image of the creatures, he made them in the image of himself. Why is that? Because man is more special than all the animals, and God didn't make him in the image of a fowl or a fish. God said he was so special, he's going to make him in his own image.
Amen.
And kids and adults and ladies and gentlemen, you and I are special to God, and it's signified by the fact that we're made in the image of God.
Yes,
I saw a little Down syndrome boy the other day. They're such sweet kids. They're such precious little youngins. He looked like about 12 or 13, just real roly-poly and chubby, had that moon face, you know, like little kids do. And his mom was leading along down the street. You know, he's waddling along, just smiling. Those little kids just loved it to death. And he had a t-shirt on. And the t-shirt said, God didn't make any junk. That's amazing. I like it. I like that. God doesn't make any junk. I like it. And kids, you are a worse son. You may feel like the most worthless dud in the world. You may feel like nobody cares about you. You may feel like that you're not worth anything in this life. But I got news for you. The very fact you're living and breathing proves you're worth something to God.
Amen.
Look at Romans 5. As a matter of fact, you're so important that Jesus Christ went to Calvary to die for you. Romans the 5th chapter. And watch the verses very closely now. He said down here in verse 6 of Romans 5. Watch it very closely. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Do you see how important you are, young people and moms and dads? And you're so important that Jesus Christ came down out of glory, was born of a virgin here in this world, and lived the perfect life that you and I could not live. Went to Calvary, let him strip him naked, cattle for his clothes at the foot of Calvary, beat him with a cat of nine tails, rip his beard out, and spit in his face, and take big nails and drive him in his hands and his feet, and curse him and mock him. But he stayed on the cross. Why did he do it? He didn't have to do it. He was God Almighty. He could have done what he wanted to. But he looked down and said, those folks need a Savior. And I love them. And I'm going to stay on the cross for them.
Amen.
That's how much you care. That's how much he cares about you. You say, preacher, nobody in this world loves me. Everybody wants to use me. Well, I might be so. But I'm telling you over on the glory side, somebody loves you tonight.
Amen.
Jesus loves you.
That's right.
And he proved it by going to Calvary. As a matter of fact, young people, you're so important that if you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, guess what he'll do? He'll come and live inside you.
Yes,
and you're so important that he said that one of these days he's going to prepare a place for you, a beautiful mansion on the glory side, and you are so important that he said, I'm coming back to get you one of these days.
Yes, amen.
That sounds very important to me.
Yes, sir.
Before you kill yourself, consider the field of endeavors you'll never explore. Let me say something to you adults tonight, you parents. You know I was going to get you, didn't I?
Amen.
Moms and dads say, well, I'm scared about this thing. And I'm afraid that my teenager's going to commit suicide. And I'm afraid of it. Well, I guess in one way I ought to be afraid of it. But I'm afraid what I see across the country. I see parents that are too stinking busy making a dollar bill to give their kids a dollar day. All that matters is that buck and what it'll buy. All that matters is if you make your big-time house payment and drive you a big-time new car, and only thing that matters is you put your 8 hours in to get your retirement, and a lot of your kids are going to hell. A lot of your kids don't have anybody to talk to except somebody out on the street. I'm going to tell you something, that's a sorry way to treat God's heritage, Mom and Dad.
Yes, sir.
No. God put those children in your home and made my heritage. God said that the fruit of the womb is his reward. The little kids can't even get their parents' attention anymore because the average Christian home is like a madhouse. Dad's on first shift, the mom's on second shift, and everybody running and screaming at each other. Ain't no wonder kids going which way to turn.
That's right.
Right. Someplace every night. Unplug the tube for a while.
Yes, sir.
Cut the line to your satellite dish. Oh, that'd be worth withdrawing some dough for you. insult your television design. So, you know, when we had television years ago, Mr. Wimple was squeezing toilet paper in the supermarket, man. Now, you are talking big time stupidity. Are you listening to me? And that's all I tell you to do, to run and squeeze the toilet paper, man. You know, the guy's on drugs. Somebody like that. Just a serious pharmaceutical. You talk to your parents this week. You kids listen now. It's time you say, all right. Parents, keep your kids in good church. I don't care how far you got to drive. I don't care where you got to go. People say, oh, that church is too far. Well, man, you drive to Disneyland. You drive all not very far. You drive down the coast and on the ocean and everything. You drive to see Grandma and Uncle Fudd and Aunt Susan and all the rest of that stuff. Let me tell you something. A kid knows a weenie when they see one. And for God's sake, don't sit a kid under a weenie's
minute. Yeah, amen.
Walk out like just starts in shorts. Yeah, we know kids hanging far out there.
Amen.
I'd rather hear Aunt Jemima say bow and cabbage then. Give it a good church. Keep on the fire. Keep on this old-fashioned preaching and saying. Keep in a church where the power of God falls and the people can rejoice and shout and weep. They feel love.
Amen.
This old dead bunch of men, you know, people come walking in church, act like the last dead laugh fell off of them, and they sit there and look like a bunch of Frankenstein dummies and say, well, God delivered me, my man. I got to sit there and watch paint dry, ain't it? Keep in a good church.
Amen.
And get there yourself.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But you get up on Sunday morning and send your kids, your old backslid heathen, get up and think.
Amen.
Spend time with them. I realize I live in a business society. I know that sometimes it's necessary for both husband and wife to work. I understand. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you got to do, for God's sake, Mom and Dad, spend time with them. Say, I'm talking about quality time. I'm talking about whatever you got to do. You're not going to have them that long. They're going to be grown up and gone.
Yes, sir.
If they don't kill themselves first.
Yeah.
Spend time with them. Listen to their plans and dreams. Kids have plans and dreams. They may sound completely silly to you and I. I was in a church meeting here some time back. Little girl sitting on the front row. It's hard to judge the age of kids anymore, you know, because
right.
Little girls are not little girls anymore. You know, their mother blows them up with they got a pants and grandparents over there. And they put them long eyes. Where do you girls, where do y'all get these long eyes? Like? Look like ant fingers, man. And it got them along, and mama's got them jacked up on high heels. And they can't even hold on there. They walk like this, all right.
Yep.
So I'm going to guess this little girl's about 13 or 14. She had a big pair of earrings. I'm talking about you get two hernias in your ear. And she's chewing about a pack of chewing gum one time. She's going up. She's real spastic, you know. And she's after service, you know, she comes up to me. And she said, don't jump, I want to talk to you. Well, you didn't have that ball. So I sat down in the front row with her, and she gets talking. And she said, do you know what I want to be when I grow up? I said, no, honey, what do you want to be? She said, I want to be a brain surgeon. Well, I thought to myself, I could have said, you got to have a brain. You say it. I said, you do. She said, oh, yes, Brother Joe. She said, my daddy and mommy are separated. And she said, I told my dad the other day that I want to be a brain surgeon. And he didn't even listen. He was talking about his golf game. And I told my mama, and she just laughed. She said, well, you can't even get a C in math at school. How are you going to be a brain surgeon? But she said, Brother Joe, I really do want to be a brain surgeon. I reached over and got one of her hands. I said, you know what? If I ever saw the hand of the brain surgeon, I believe you got it. I mean, you're ready for it. Oh, my God. Boy, she's just passed out. Man, I mean, she come unwind. She said, do you got it? I said, look, you stay with God and live for Jesus Christ and do the very best you can in school. No matter what, I believe you can make a good brain surgeon. She took out that board, that door, and whoo, I can be a brain surgeon. She probably went out practice on somebody. I hope it's a cat. They got plans and dreams. Listen to them. If you don't, somebody will.
That's right.
And it's the wrong kind of folks every time.
That's right.
Show love in your home. Outside the four walls of this building and outside the four walls of your home, every kind of hell and depravity and garbage in the world goes on.
Yeah.
Your kids are exposed and my kids are exposed every day to gang rapes and the thought of it and the news stories of it. They're exposed to it. Y'all had a guy up here, somebody's up at Goshen, California a couple months ago, went into a schoolyard and wasted a bunch of kids with some kind of automatic weapon. Bet those kids hear that every day. They hear about the bomb threat. They hear about the fact that we may be blown up by Gorbachev. They hear all the stuff about AIDS. They hear about all this garbage. Then they listen to you fuss and fight at home and threaten to divorce. It's no wonder. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Show love in your home. Your home and mine ought to be a haven from that mess.
Amen.
Amen.
You ought to come home and see somebody that actually loves each other and not ashamed to show.
Amen.
Hey, in case you haven't found out, if you don't show your children love, they're going to hunt it outside the home and they're going to be the wrong kind every time.
Yes, sir.
That's why little girls wind up pregnant and that kind of stuff. That's why little boys hooked up with gangs because somebody will accept them because they're rejected down the house. Show love in your home. Show affection in your home. Had a man come in today, you know, men are such pukes sometimes. He saw one of his own, he said, I'm just not a very loving and emotional person. I said, well, get that way.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, he said, we didn't show love in our home, my mom and dad. I said, well, you're a grown man. You can change. Show love. You can change. Quit being such a dunce.
Amen.
Huh?
Come on.
Learn to show love. You show love, I need me. Well, maybe it's you.
Yeah.
Quit being such a dingbat now. Weak. I just have this problem. Yeah, you do. You don't listen. That's your problem.
Yeah.
So I'm not a very emotional person. Oh, quit, man. Come on. You get emotional over your golf game. You get emotional over catching big fish out here somewhere. You get emotional over everything except your youngest and your wife. And shame on you for that.
Yes,
amen.
Shame on you for that. Show love in your home. Some of you women need to take a little advice, too. You get all doing all this wonderful work and all this other stuff, and you ain't got time just to stop and show some affection and love to your kid and your husband and your home. But tell you something. You put those kids to bed at night after you've loved on and hugged on, and they see you loving and hugging on your husband, they got a little smile on their face.
That's right.
You put them to bed fussing and fighting and threatening divorce and raising hell and calling names they can't see, and they go to school all worked up by the name. That's a sign way of sending the kid off.
That's right.
Because when he comes home, he didn't know whether he's got mom and dad or not. You're welcome. Have a nice day.
Amen, brother.
Be careful who they have friends. Watch who they're friends for. Take time to find out who they're around with.
Yeah.
And set you some rules down. Kids expect that all they may grunt and drive and carry on people out. They expect mom and dad to set the boundaries of where they go with it. And they feel loved because of it. You have a set of car keys or gas in credit card and said, here, well, just come in when you want to. And you don't have to tell them where you go. They never mind. They may like that freedom for a while, but they wonder if you really care about them.
That's right.
What's going to happen? Here's one I'm going to get in trouble on. They'll be okay. Still true. Commend them when they do right. And quit pushing so stinking hard in school.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, listen to that. I'm not condoning lazy. Some of you kids are lazy. If you put a piece of bread in your mouth, have to run your jaws up down again. You are lazy. And you blame the teacher, you blame everybody else, and the problem is you're lazy. And you say, well, I just can't learn. No, you're just lazy. That's your problem. I'm not condoning lazy. I'll tell you what I see. I see parents shoving that kid. He does the very best he can, and all kids don't have the same learning book. Yeah. Not all kids are raised to. But they'll shove that kid and push that kid, and he brings home a C or a B minus or something, and they blow up and say, well, you understand, Timmy got mail that same day. If you see his name on the honor roll, what's the matter with you, dummy? Can't you do any better? No wonder kids blow their brains out.
Yeah.
Some of you parents, you're not, your kids have never pleased you. You have found fault in everything they've done. They have never pleased you. They've never done anything to please you, and most of those kids want to please you.
Yeah.
Some of you parents can't be pleased. You know why? Because you got a big load of pride down in your soul, and you looking down the road and say, well, I want to show my kids off for so-and-so sake. They think their kids are so smart. That ain't the reason we have kids, honey.
Yeah.
Hey, and commend them when they do right.
Amen.
I have a daughter at home. You take a listen.
I hope so.
Okay, don't give my daughter a safe. She'll hate me to use the illustration. I have a 7-year-old daughter at home. And she's like her dad. She really has a hard time at school. And she does, and you know, she does real good as best she can. She's like me. I got C's in school. Oh, the only way I ever passed out when I was in school, the only way I dated the smartest girl in the class. And I got through there and I dropped off the hot potatoes. No, I'm just kidding. But she got me through, buddy. But she just like me. Everything comes hard for her. Nothing in school comes easy. Well, I noticed one week I was home. And, you know, if you got teenagers in the house, teenagers should have been born with a telephone growing out of here. There is that. Teenage girls are the only human being in the world that can talk on the telephone, chew to them, pick your nose, paint the toenails, do the homework, watch the VCR, and do the arm all the same time. It's the most magnificent coordinated thing I've ever seen. Well, I noticed that week and had one talking on the phone. I noticed her friend Becky called and said, hello, tell her there. And she said, tell her I can't talk, Mom, I'm busy studying. I said, oh, Mom, we have got a serious problem.
She can talk. I know she's in her room all every night just studying instead of hitting the books. It's a big test for her. Well, the big test came. She got her grade back. She came home that afternoon crying. She threw her books in the corner. I said, "What's the matter, Mom?" She said, "You're going to kill me." I said, not today. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Maybe tomorrow. Boom, messing, you know. I don't have time to clean up the funeral. I said, "What am I going to kill you now?" She threw that paper away. She got a D on the test. Big test. Got into a lot of regret. And she came over and she went to her room. You know how girls do. They get to the room and get the phone. Well, I'm going to play. She said, "I guess you're going to kill. I guess I'm grounded." And she get her car keys and she said, "There's the key. I guess I'm grounded for 6 months. I don't get it." I said, "No, no. Look, settled. You're settled. I'm settled." She got crying. She said, "Daddy, I did the best I could." She said, "Daddy, I said," she said, "it was a hard test. Since a lot of kids in class failed that test, and he thought about giving it over because not hard anybody passes." She said, "Daddy, I studied. I really did. I knew she did." She said, I didn't. She said, "I didn't run around. I didn't talk to her while I was in there studying." She said, "Daddy, I did the best I could." She said, "What are you going to do today?" I said, "Well, I don't know. It looks to me like this really requires some special class." She said, "Oh, no, he's going to ground it for a year." No. I took her out and bought her a milkshake. And I bought me one for being such a nice guy. You know why? Because she did the very best she did.
Right.
I knew that. And I could have said, "Hey, stupid, what's the matter? Can you get a C and pass the dumb test?" But that would have been wrong. She did the best she could. They did give another test over again. And she got a B plus on that. Let me tell you something. I believe that you can push kids so far. And they say, "Well, I can't please anybody. What's the use of trying?"
Right.
And a lot of them just blow their brains out. Can I tell you about this? Kids got sent over there and looking for somebody to brag on them and to love them.
That's right.
And to encourage them. I was in a meeting, I was 6 months ago, 8 months ago now, preaching. I got done and I noticed a little girl sitting out over here. She's just real skinny. This is a high school group, about 250 high school students. But there's one little girl said, "Rich, she just kind of caught my eye. She's a little skinny kid, hair was stringy. Her clothes were very, very plain. You know, the other girls were dressed in the latest fashions and, you know, all the newer things. This little girl, you could just tell, she just wore hand-me-downs. She just kind of caught my eye. After service, she kind of hung around. She came up to me and she had her head down. She wouldn't look at me. She said, "Mr. Jones, can I talk to you just a minute?" I said, "Sure, honey." We sat down on a bench. She started crying. And she said, "Mr. Jones, 2 nights ago I tried to kill myself." And I said, "Why, honey? Why? She cried while I couldn't get her composure. I get her handkerchief and kind of try to console her. And she said, "Last week, my mom and dad have been married 15 years. And she said, last week, they announced they were getting a divorce. And my dad moved out of the house. And she said, "Preacher, I can't handle it." She said, "My mom and daddy, that's all I've ever known." She said, "That we live in a poor area of town." She said, "We don't have a lot of money." And she said, "My mom and dad break up. I don't have anything else." She said, "I don't wear the new clothes like the girls do because we can't afford to buy it." She said, "We live in a ransacked house." She said, "The other kids make fun of me. And all I've had is my mom and dad. If I don't have them, I don't want them." She said, 2 nights ago, she said, "I had the pistol loaded." And she said, "My boyfriend come by and stopped me." She said, "I had it in my head. I had a safety on." She said, "All I do is pull that hammer back. I was ready to go." And I talked to her and I prayed with her. And after we had done, she said, "I see now." She said, "That's the wrong course of action." I'm going to tell you something, moms and dads. For God's sake, stay together. Your kids don't understand. They don't understand when you got to go have a divorce court and choose between two people they love deeply as well. They don't understand divorce. They don't understand. I'm sorry. You say, "Well, I'm saying we're in compatible." Well, let's not get compatible.
Amen.
Do what you got to do. I don't remember all this old song. It's probably so old you kids wouldn't probably never heard it. But I was old. But I like the song. And the song said, "Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold, precious memories, how they linger,
Sister Sims, you just play anything, please, ma'am. Just anything you want to play, we're not going to sing. If you would just play for us a moment. Let me talk to you. Would you bow your heads just a minute? Would y'all bow your heads? Would you kids especially pray tonight for the preacher? I'm going to give an unusual invitation tonight. Probably maybe one of the most unusual invitations we've had here. But I really feel like it's what God wants to do. Are you listening? Sister, play softly this old hymn, whatever she's chosen. I appreciate you young people being so attentive. It's not often you go to preach to a place where young people pay attention. But I saw half of your attention tonight, young people. I appreciate it. I'm going to do it. Would you do something like for me, for the Lord, for yourself? The last thing I want to do is put anybody on the spot. But I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask every young person in here, anybody like 21 down, 22 down, get more down, we're talking about young people. Embarrass you, I promise I won't. I'm going to pray with you, then you're welcome to go back to your seats. Would you just, I'm going to wait. Come on, others, come on. Others, come on. Just, if you're on me, if you're on staff, whatever you're going to do, go on. We just want to pray here together. I'm going to wait. Come on, others, just come on. Thank you. Thank you, kids. God bless you. I appreciate that. Others, I'm going to wait just a minute. Just come on. Others want to come on. We're going to pray. You go back to your seat. Just a minute. I'm going to wait. Just about another 10 seconds. Come on. Others. Others. All right, parents and adults, would you look this way just a minute? If your child is here or somebody that you're relative to or one of your friends, would you come and stand with them so they know that somebody cares, some adult cares? Would you just come and stand? If we got to get three or four of one kid, that's okay. We don't care how many is on one, just so everybody's got somebody. Come on, if your child's here, your friend is here, come on, stand with them. We're going to pray. I promise I won't embarrass you. God knows the last thing I want to do is embarrass anybody. Come on, I'm going to wait. Others want to get on. Come on. Some adult. If you see a kid up here that doesn't have somebody to pray with, a young person, you just kind of get in behind them. And let's pray together. I'm going to wait. Come on. Some of you other adults need to get in on that. Let's not be backward about this. We come to help tonight. We come to help somebody. And you know, if four or five gets around one young person, that's okay. Man, if when I was a young person, if four or five adults got around me and put their arm on me and said, Dave, I care about you, man, I'd have jumped out of my skin. I wouldn't know what was going on. I'm going to wait. Come on. Others need to come on. You want to get with one of these young people? Come on. They need somebody to let them know they appreciate it. I'm going to wait. Come on. Others are still coming. Just come on. Hey, it might be that some of you adults out there maybe considered suicide way back there and God delivered you from it. Y'all come and give God the thanks for it tonight. Say, God, I'm grateful I didn't go through it. I'm grateful you stopped me. I'm thankful that I chose life. I'm going to wait just about another 10 seconds. We're going to pray. Amen. We're just waiting. We're not in a hurry. We want God to do what he wants to tonight. Now, could I say this before we pray? If you're here in the auditorium or here in the front, and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, only you and the Lord know that. I don't know that. But right now when I pray, would you in your heart say, Lord Jesus, I'm just a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. I believe you died for me, and I want you to come into my heart and save me and cleanse me and forgive me. God, I want you to be my Savior. You know what the Bible said? Him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. Jesus will save you tonight and give you something worth living for. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, our Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for these precious young people that are here before us tonight. Lord, it took a lot of courage and a lot of grace for them to come forward. Lord, some of them started out just the very minute I announced it. I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that they've come tonight. And Lord, by their coming, they're saying, Lord, I want my life to count. Dying is not on my list of priorities. I'm not going to take my own life. But God, I want to live, and I want my life to count and be meaningful. Lord, I know they have problems. I know, Lord, they have discouragements. I know, Lord, they're fighting some battles that probably we don't know anything about. God, please give them grace. Lord, may we never hear of any young person in this building ever committing suicide. God, may it never come to our ears that any young person that's heard this message tonight would ever take their own life. And God, please bless the parents. It's not easy raising kids in this generation. Lord, we need wisdom. We make mistakes. God, forgive us as parents where we've let the almighty dollar motivate us to the place, Lord, where we've forgotten our children. And God, I pray tonight before folks go back to their beds, they'd find some young person, hug them and say, I love you and I'm for you and I want to encourage you to live for God. God, help them to do that tonight. Help them not to be ashamed. We came here to get help tonight. And Lord, a hug wouldn't cost anybody anything. A word of encouragement costs nothing. And Lord, I pray tonight for those who may be lost here without Jesus. God, please, right now in their heart, I pray, Father, they'd call on Christ. You said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless us each one. Bless every young person. Bless every adult around this altar. Thank you for the good response. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Help yourself. You want to hug somebody? Tell me you love my song. Amen. Help yourself. It's all right. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't ever be ashamed. Just play a while, sister. We may have a little more business to get done. But Jesus cares. That's what she's playing. Yeah, it does. You got somebody you want to kind of get with and tell me you love them? Let's just do that. I mean, you know. We ain't no hurry. You're in the house of God. That's all right. Listen to what God said. Amen. It's all right. Help yourself. We're not on no program. Get across the aisle to somebody. It's all right. Somebody came with you. So around telling you love them. That's all right. Hey, I promise you this world doesn't love you. I guarantee you that. They hate you. They love each other. Amen. Just help yourself. Yes. That's a good song to play. Does Jesus care? The answer to that is he does. Sure. Amen. Amen. Help yourself. Help yourself. Hey, if I got so dry and starchy that I couldn't go hug somebody's neck and tell them I love them, I'd get y'all to sleep. Amen. If I'm that dry, I'll just be honest with you. You want to come get saved? Pastor's here, other here. Come on, come with somebody. You want to be doing it with somebody? They'll walk down the aisle with you. Just come on, let me glad to. Hey, I got to say, one more of an old walk down the aisle with me. Well, thank God. Just come with me. That's Jesus. Amen. Yes, sir. Help yourself. Help yourself, that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't ever be ashamed of your tears. Don't ever be ashamed of them. I'd get to worrying if I didn't have any, I promise you. Don't ever be ashamed of them. Let's sing that, Cindy, we have what a friend in heaven. Was that a minute? You didn't happen to know what the number? We'll sing a verse or two of that just before pastor comes. I like it old song. Some of y'all are just about to die of self-restraint. You really are. You just on the verge of dropping dead of self-restraint. And God really wants to do something here tonight.
Yes, sir.
God wants to save some people. And God wants to get some people right and get some families closer together. 384 in this old hymn book. Let's sing a verse or two of this old hymn. Let's sing that thing loud. You still need to give to somebody? You want to come get saved tonight? You want to come pray? You want to go across town and tell somebody you love them? That's all right. Let's come on. Let's sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear.
For prayer tonight. As we bow tonight, boy, it's been good, isn't it?
It's good to come to church on Wednesday night. You just never know what God's going to do. Boy, it's good to see teenagers cry. It's good to see folks get together. It's good to see some of these folks come up don't have children.
Yes, sir.
And just hug on ours. Man, pray for them. God, they need your help. Need your help. Let's bow for prayer. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, and I'm not going to give another invitation, nor am I going to preach. But you're here tonight, and God spoke to your heart. And tonight, you really don't know what to do, because maybe it's the first time that God has spoken to your heart. And what God spoke to you tonight was that you're lost and you need to be saved. Maybe you've got religion, but religion can only inform you and conform you, but only Jesus Christ can transform you. And I'm not trying to get you tonight to join this church or anything like that. I'm trying to get you tonight to see what God spoke to you about your sin. And there is no amount of good works that can take it away. No amount of religion can take it away. But tonight, Jesus Christ can take it all away. He's done everything he can tonight. Somehow or another, he's worked it out so you could be here tonight to hear this. And you're here tonight, God spoke to your heart. Would you just do this between you and I and God so that you and I can communicate with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Would you say, preacher, as you pray tonight, would you pray and ask God to continue to work with me because something has gone on in my heart and I don't fully understand it? And preacher, tonight, I want you to pray for me. You don't know me and I don't know you. But I know this, God wants to do something in your heart. And as we bow for prayer, would you just be so bold? I mean, nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to do anything like that. But you, if you'll let me know tonight that, preacher, would you pray for me? God's doing something in my heart. I don't understand it, but I want to know what he wants me to do. Anybody like that tonight, just slip your hand up, slip it right back down. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. All right. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this good message. Thank you for this good man. Thank you, Father, for these people tonight that were willing to come out. And Father, it was unannounced. Father, it was intended to be that way. And Lord, we want you to do things without planning, God, just to be spontaneous. And Father, thank you that when salvation hits us, it is spontaneous. Father, the day that I got saved, I never thought about it until I heard the gospel that you died for me and that I could not work my way to heaven. Lord, what a thrill that was when I found out that, Lord, you would save me just as I was. Father, I pray for that soul here tonight that's nearest hell, that soul tonight that has been spoken to, but Lord, they're just a little afraid, a little awkward tonight for them. I pray, God, that you would continue to work with them, be with them, and show them the great gift of salvation. Thank you for these teenagers tonight and these young folks. May you bless now as we dismiss and go to our time, our destination, Lord, for our time of singles fellowship, that, Lord, you would allow us to have a good spirit there, Father, and a great spirit as we plan for the future days of what we're going to do. Father, thank you again for your grace. Thank you for your man. Thank you for the word of God and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, amen. Dismissed.
She was 15 years old. She was required more care. She was married and just had a baby.